What is your passion today? Thank you, students, for being back here. Y'all were here. Some of you were here last week. Thank you for being here. I heard you had a great meeting Thursday night. I hear due to circumstances beyond your control, you're going to be meeting here on Thursday nights this year. That means you're going to have to work that much harder to fill the place up. That's right. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. I love building hope. We can sit around and talk about division all day, but at some point you got to quit talking and you got to do something about it. You can have a panel all day long and talk yourself silly, but unless you do something, you're wasting your time. Or it might make you feel a little bit better that you're talking. That's what I appreciate about building hope. Going after kids who are underprivileged, who are at risk. That's what I'm going to talk more about it here in a few minutes. But I'm excited about what God is doing with Building Hope after 18 years. Those gentlemen who had the vision, Mike Williams, Mark L'Esperance, and Dave McDowell, who had the vision to go after that. Wow, what a crown jewel for our church that we were able to start that and launch that out of this church. What is your passion today? We're here in 2019. Can you start saying 19 now? We're here in 2019, and my question for you today is, what are you passionate about? What gets you up in the morning? What gives you a reason to put one foot in front of the other when it doesn't feel like you can hardly do it? What was Jesus' passion? You ever heard the movie The Passion of the Christ? Actually, passion just comes from a Latin word which means suffering. Jesus suffered. Yeah, I hope you don't mind. I'm just jumping right into this morning. Jesus, his suffering from the Last Supper through the cross was called the Passion. The word is in the Latin is passion. That's where that comes from. Of course, nowadays, in the modern usage, we don't use it in that light. We use it in a totally different light. We use it in the light of passion being when you put more energy into something than it's required to do. It's more than just an enthusiasm or excitement. Passion is ambition that is materialized into action. To put on as much heart, mind, body, and soul into something as is possible. That's what passion is defined today. Jesus' passion was to go to the cross for us. He died on that cross and he rose from the dead for us. And I believe when he does that, and he rose from the dead victorious, that he wants to put inside of everyone a passion for something. First and foremost, I believe a passion should be for Jesus himself. The person of Jesus. A passion for God. A heartfelt warmth, depth, strong, intense feeling. Other ways to describe this is an emotion. Emotions as distinguished from reason, intense, driving, an overmastering feeling or conviction, a strong liking or desire for a devotion to some activity, love, fervency. You know, it says here in Psalm 126, "And he who goes to and fro carrying his bag of seed shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Do we have a zeal today for the house of God? Do you have a passion for Jesus today? Do you have a passion that you put your hand to under the auspices of the kingdom of God? I believe that when you commit your life to Christ and you surrender your heart to Him, that He infuses us not only with a passion for Him, but I believe He infuses you with a passion for something here on this earth. It could be your career. It could be your family. It could be no matter what that is, but there is a passion that I believe God puts in every one of us. Now, passion that is not under the authority of Jesus Christ can lead us down some bad paths. And we've seen that happen. But passion and anointing from God under His authority is powerful. And it changes the world and we live in. Jesus had a zeal for the kingdom of God. It says, "Zeal for His house was consuming." And into those who were selling doves, He took these things away. "Stop making my Father's house a place of business." His disciples remember that it was written, "Zeal for your house would consume me." The contemporary English version says, My love for your house burns in me like fire. Burns in me like fire. Now, let me back up a minute. And let me just say this right off the bat. If you're a note taker in here today, I'm going to totally frustrate you today. This is going to be a different kind of sermon today, okay? I'm going to talk to you. I might even yell at you a little bit if I get excited. Forgive me if I offend you in any way. Just come talk to me afterwards. I apologize. But you know, I'm not necessarily talking just about a feeling, though. Man, passion is great when it's there. The feelings are great when it's there. That adrenaline you get when you're passionate about something. You know what I'm saying? When you're passionate. I saw an interview one time where Bear Grylls, you know who he is? Who does all this adventure stuff. And I sort of live vicariously through him when I watch his shows. He just said, my mother just says I'm an adrenaline junkie. It's great when we have the feelings, the passionate feelings, the adrenaline, the excitement. Man, I love that. But you can't live that way. There's days that it's just an internal conviction that's deep inside of you that propels you forward to pursue the passion God has put in you. You go to the office that day, I'm sure you don't want to deal with some of the stuff you have to deal with that day. Or mom, you don't want to have to deal with some of the stuff you're having to deal with that day. But it still propels you forward. I remember I used to love going on roller coasters as far as getting that adrenaline. I used to love roller coasters. So the last time we were at this, we're at Dollywood, I think it was, up in Tennessee. And my kids came to me and said, Dad, you got to ride this roller coaster. Now, in the past, I've loved riding roller coasters because it gave me that rush. It gave me that excitement. So I said, all right. So I come to find out afterwards, they put me on the roughest roller coaster right to begin with. They didn't give me a chance to just sort of smooth slide in and get a little bit. They put me on the worst one. They sat me down in it, and it strapped me down where I couldn't even move my legs. I couldn't even move. I'm sitting like this, and I said, this is not going to be pretty. And I'm just, I can't even move. I mean, I can't even hurt. I mean, it's that way. And that thing goes off, and the G's on that thing were going around the circle and corner, and my brain was hurting inside. And it was flinging, and I could feel pain in my head. And it finally got to the end, and I got off, and my head quit hurting. I said, well, I can't take those G's anymore. So as much as I love the excitement and the thrill, I realize that now roller coasters just give me a headache. You can't live on your emotion. You got to live on a deep-seated passion and conviction that's deep down inside of your heart. What are you passionate about today? What is inside of you that gets you moving? What is the deep-seated passion, conviction that compels you forward to pursue God's personal passion for you in 2019? I'm believing in 2019, God is going to be birthing passion within you. Passion for Him, but also I believe He's going to expose the passions inside of you or bring to fruition what's inside of you for your future. Those of us who are a little older, our passions change over time. You know, what we were passionate for at this point in life, they sort of evolve and change, and our passion, God begins to redirect our passions according to our station in life. And maybe you were a mom who was passionate about your kids. Now you're passionate about your grandkids, or you're passionate about different things, or your different areas of your life that you're passionate about. They change. But still, the number one passion is to have Jesus. And then under that, the passion that He puts within your heart. It's that calling, and it's that destiny. 2 years ago, I spoke, and I got up and I shared the history vision of the church, and I used the moon and the Mars analogy, talking about where we had been in this church. And I talked about this, reaching the moon and what it takes to reach Mars. Show me my moon picture up there. The earth standing in the background. And I want to go through and take a few minutes. We have a lot of new people here over the last couple of years. And I want to share with you where we've been in this church. And then I want to share you where I think we're going to Mars. Now, when I talk about going to Mars, I'm not talking about going to Jupiter. I'm not talking about going to Saturn. What's next? Neptune. I'm not talking about going like that. I'm talking about what I think we're going to Mars is going to look like. Now, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that God reveals as we go and as we move. Mike Williams and Mary Beth Williams had a dream, and they had a vision in 1990 to come start this church with a vision to reach the community and families and to reach that university campus over there. Campus ministry has always and will always be a part of this church as long as I am the pastor. And the person after me is going to have the same vision or they're not going to be the pastor. But we had a vision to come here to start a church that would impact the city, a family church that would impact the campus. And things were a lot different back then in 1990. It didn't even look like the same city that it did in 1990. We've had a vision to have a multiracial, multicultural church to break down the separation between human beings. That we would have black people, African American, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever it may be who you are. We wanted to have a church that reflected that. Now, I am no in ways am I criticizing any church that's homogeneous, that has only one race. God calls everybody. But for us, this is what God called us to do. They had a vision to reach the medical community. We had the hospital out there and all the stuff that's being built. They had a vision for the medical community. Had a vision to make disciples and train up leaders. Not just have church-going people on Sunday. That was the vision that they came down here with. They didn't have the resources. I ended up coming. They prayed me in here. I didn't want to come. Isn't that right, Pastor Mike? He twisted my arm in the spirit. And I was up at NC State. I was a campus minister up there. I was enjoying Raleigh. The thought of having to come back to Eastern North Carolina, this is not a slam on my hometown, but that was like Escape from New York for me. That movie, Escape from New York, that was what that was for me to get out of my hometown of Wilson and Greenville. Wilson, however we pronounce it. It was like Escape from New York. No slam on that, or pun intended, but that's just the way it was for me. I did not want to come back here, but I came back out of obedience to God and their prayers, obviously. And we began to work. Couldn't get anybody to come to the meeting. They started a campus ministry first before we even started our first church service, just to let you know how dedicated we are to reaching the next generation. Mike started that first in Jones Hall. Is it still there? Or they tore that down. Is it still there? He started it there because we've always had a passion for young people. And that's why I'm here, because we have young people. I've talked to people my age who are here, said, we're here because of the young people. We want to be around young people. We don't want to be, come on, Irene, we don't want to be around a bunch of stodgy old people got our attitudes. You know, we want to be around some people. Come on, Irene, thank you. Let me just say, Irene was our champion. She was the first African-American family that came to be a part of our church, her and David. I honor you today, sister, if it's not for you. You're the one that broke it down and we came in. But Mike came here, seven of us. Is Kevin Luann here this morning? Kevin, Luann, myself, they weren't married at the time. Me and Kevin roomed together for a year. After they got married, I moved into Luann's apartment. Of course, she moved in with Kevin, obviously. We believe the Bible around here, so... I moved into her apartment. Somebody shot into my apartment. You know, I still hold you semi-responsible for that, Luann. Somebody shot in there while you were there. While I'm there, somebody's shooting in the apartment. At least I'm reading my Bible when that happened. So if I had gotten hit, I'd have been going on into glory. So, but I remember those early days, and remember the first year we had what we would call the infamous Easter service. I'd say infamous. You catch that? It was the worst Easter service I've ever been to in my life. Mike called us over to his house afterwards, me and Kevin Luann. His two children were here. I mean, we had two small kids. And said, what do you think about that service today? And, you know, we're so like, well, you know, it was all right. It was all right. Mike said, hush! It was terrible, and you know it was terrible. We were so discouraged, we thought about quitting and just going, moving back to Raleigh. The guy's back to Kings Park. But to their credit, they would not let go of the vision. They would not let go of the passion. Let me tell you something. To me, maybe I don't know much about it, but vision means nothing if there's no passion to fuel it. If there's no passion, you can write everything down in a word, but you got to have passion that's birthed down inside of your heart that gets you through and gets you over anything that happens in your life. I remember we're wondering, should we quit? I hope y'all don't mind me going down memory lane a little bit. I got to bring everybody in. You got to know what's going to happen here. I remember we were discussing it, and I just said, to my surprise, I said, "Mike, if we fold up, I'm not going back to Raleigh. I'm staying here." And when I said it, it's like I was turning around saying, "Who said that?" And I didn't turn around then, but in my mind, I'm going, "Where did that come from? I'm not going back." I had been infected with the vision. I had been infected with the passion. And to their credit, I was along for the ride. To their credit, they pushed through and were able to birth the church, make it happen. I honor Mike and Mary Beth Williams today because of that. Thank you, John, for hanging out in the children's ministry during those years. So. So we've seen God do some things. We went from 7 people to where we are currently, around 315 people who say this is their church family. Not to mention 35 from Nelson and his tabernacle restoration. 35 more. He's here this morning. So we're around 355 or so people who say this is their home church. If I could just get everybody to show up on the same Sunday, we'd have them all in here packed out. We've seen hundreds of people and families sent out from this church to other cities. Hundreds, seems like, over the years. 28 years. We're just entering in 29 years of ministry here in Greenville. Can you believe it? Time flies when you're having fun. By the way, thank you for marrying me. You sort of rescued me back in those days. I was such a mess. But anyway. We've trained up leaders. We've always had a vision to train up leaders. Even if it wasn't systematic, we just sort of did it on the fly. It just happened anyway. We've seen thousands of students come through our doors who went on. I say thousands. This is hard to quantify it. How many have gone through our doors at the campus over there, have gone out and begin to be salt and light in their communities and their jobs and their businesses. The kingdom of God is built for all of you going out and getting in those companies and getting in that business and parting your families. That is where the majority of the people are going to go and where God is going to use you in that calling that you have. We've seen that happen over and over again. It's happened so many times that I come up to people where I see people I seen in a while, haven't seen in a while, and I have to, and the conversation when they got married comes up, and I have to say, "Now, did I marry you, or did somebody else marry you, or was I there?" I've married so many couples, I don't even remember half the time who they were. Did I marry you or not? I kid you not, do 20, 30 marriages, weddings, 25. I get you, that is not an exaggeration. Wouldn't you say I probably performed 25 or 30 weddings? Young people giving their lives to Jesus. We've even had a few people that came up who were pastoring in other denominations that went through our campus ministry. We've had many leaders and servants that have gone out throughout the city. And like I said, it's hard, or out the country and the world. It's hard to quantify a lot of this. We have had over 30 campus ministers that have been raised up in our church. Over 30. Some did short-term ministry. Some then went to their career. Others did long-term ministry. We've even sent two or three out to other churches that were far bigger than us who needed help with our campus ministry. God has been faithful to do that. The national director of Every Nation Campus, Nick and Heather Jones, they are out of this church. Now he's heading up a national ministry out of this church. out of about 63 churches, and I'm not saying this to brag, I'm giving glory to God, but I just want to give you where we've been. Over 63 or so churches that have ENC affiliates, for the last 6 years, we have produced more or raised up, trained more campus ministers than all of them. And some of those churches are 3 and 4 times bigger than us. There's been a grace there. So much so, now we have an internship program that students can get into if they want to go into campus ministry or if they want to do anything. Sometimes they just serve a couple semesters before they can graduate and go on to their careers. But we have an internship program that now, because of the success that we have had here locally, they're wanting to use our model, our internship program, in all these other churches. Out of little old Greenville. And let me just say, I was an advising consent through the process, but Blake Dameron really carried the weight and did the hard work on this. He had a team that helped him. But he did the heavy lifting on this. He just come into my office, and say, "Hey, what about this? What about that? What about this?" And congratulations. Byron and Kalen, man, congratulations. Good, great job there. We've had people go overseas and serving churches overseas. Mike went over in the '90s and maybe even later, served Eastern European churches. We're talking shifting to missions now. Where's Bianca? All right, listen up, Bianca. All right. Missions. She has a missions passion. Mike went over and traveled in Eastern Europe. He pastored pastors who were starting churches over there. I remember in 1990, I went on a scout out the land trip in Lviv, Ukraine. Some years later, me and Mike went with Jeff Bullock to another scout out the land in Krakow, Poland. Missions has always been a part of who we are. We've had trips going to Dominican Republic. We got trips going to Peru on these short-term missions. Missions is who we are all about. Mike started Global Impact Resources, which is a way to serve missionaries. When we had our international services, that started way back, because international, that's why those flags are about there, because way back, international service is always going to be a part of who we are. Building Hope, we just talked about. They had a passion. They had a vision. They believed God when it didn't look like it could happen. There's been times in that ministry that it took a miracle from God to pay the utility bill. But they're still standing because God did it. It takes passion. It takes fire in your bones. Even when you don't feel it, what is your passion? What is God going to use you for this year? What gets you up in the morning? What makes you tick? Started our Spanish-speaking congregation. Nelson, stand up, Nelson. This is Nelson Ramos. A couple of his daughters with him this morning. Tell Myra I said hello. We're at a meeting one time, and a man came up to Mike and said, "I just feel like in my spirit that a pastor is going to come to you and wants to connect with you." He said, "Just receive him." And lo and behold, Nelson walks through the door and says, "I'm a pastor of Hispanic congregation. Can I come be a part of GCF Church?" And Mike said, "Absolutely." We were just waiting for you to show up. We'd already got the word of the Lord that you were coming. All right. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. And he's been standing with us how many years now? 10 years. All right, Nelson, what's the next 10 year going to hold like for you, brother? They meet over the multi-purpose room at 5 o'clock every Sunday, right? We've had children grow up in this church and still serving God. We went, I hope you just bear with me here, all right? I got some stuff to share. I know this isn't your typical sermon, but it's important. We first started out meeting in a child care center on 10th Street. It didn't always smell good on Sunday mornings either. It's okay to laugh at that. It's truth. It's the truth. started meeting there, and then through a series of events, the early 90s, we ended up over here in the multipurpose room, which is our main church services in the multipurpose room. We had those poles right there. Got some poles here. We had a pole light right in the middle of the... Anyway, but started out there. And we rented for a long time, and then God gave us the opportunity to purchase this building in 2005. So we were able to purchase this property. We were able to do a major renovation around 2008, where we took out that wall there, created the rear entrance, put in new bathrooms, which is the greatest thing we've ever done, put in new bathrooms. It was sad. Anyway, built up all this new, did a new entrance over here, tore out, fixed up, and we're still doing it. They're still doing that stuff to the building. But God supernaturally did it. And now we own this property, or we're paying for it. It took faith. It took passion to make it this far. It took passion that's deep inside that can't be denied that propels you forward. I wanted to quit many times. I've looked at the ads in the paper. Can I get a job? Something. We were so passionate about knowing that God was here. For the first 2 years I was here, I drove a school bus part-time. I worked for David McDowell for 14 years on my church day off part-time. Because God has given us something inside. I was infected with the vision. I was infected with the passion to reach this city to change the world. That is our mantra. That is our saying. I was doing a little Bible study where we took out our prayer guide, and I was actually being a good parent at this moment, and I brought my younger kids in, and we prayed over some of the stuff on our prayer guide, and I read the Bible to them. And the first one up there says something about praying that we are impacting the city. And you know how kids, if you've got kids, they get sometimes you're trying to pray, they all get silly and start saying stuff. Where my as we're talking, praying for the city, my son goes, "Oh yeah, reach the city to change the world." I said, "You know that?" He said, and then my daughter goes, "Well, how can we not know it? You say it all the time." I said, "Yes, you are getting it. I did something right that you're seeing it as a child. The vision to reach the city to change the world. We don't glory in ourselves, we glory in God." I feel like in many ways after 28 years, we're just getting started. I feel like we're just getting started. What do you mean, Eddie? In the spirit, we got a long way to go. What does Mars look like to us? I'm going to just throw a few things out to you. And I don't know it all. See that Mars picture there? I feel like we have gotten to GCF's moon. Now we got to look to Mars. And I don't have all the answers. The scriptures that help me along this, it says, for in you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. I believe God opens up vision and He opens up passion to us as we go. In the next coming weeks, we're going to be talking more about what we're passionate about here at GCF. Blake and Beatty and where James are going to be getting up. We're going to be talking about what we're passionate about. You really don't want to miss the next few weeks. We got some good stuff coming, I believe. What GCF is passionate about, our core values. I believe God wants to grow this church. But I believe we're called to winning the lost, making disciples, and training leaders. For us to get to Mars, we've always got to focus our attention on the lost and training leaders and making disciples. Making disciples, that means that you are intentional and relational. That means you have a passion after, you're following after Jesus. That means you're involved in the community of the church. And it means, the third one, I just lost my train of thought there. Help me, Blake. The lost. You have a desire for the world around you, a desire for the people. I love this quote here from Steve Merle. It is possible for a church to grow and not make disciples, but impossible to make disciples and not grow. He also, I threw this quote in here because that's just because I like it. It says, it is possible to be missional and not make disciples, but impossible to make disciples and not be missional. Our vision is to reach the city to change the world. For us to go to Mars, we're going to have to continue to do the hard work of making disciples and training leaders. We've got to continue to do what God, we have changed the format. We've done different things to make it more systematic. But we have to do those things that got you here is going to take you to the next place. We've got to do that. I believe that we're going to meet Mars when we have a life group in every neighborhood in this city. When we have a life group that's touching every part of the city, surrounding Bethel, Farmville, just all the towns around us, Chakawinny, just name them. I believe when we get there, we'll be at Mars. We got a long way to go. We got a long way to go to grow, to be at that point. I believe we're going to raise up 100 campus ministers in this church. We already got over 30. Yeah. I believe we can raise up another 100 here in this church that can go for either long-term or short-term to different churches and to help out. I believe we can do that. When we get there, I believe we're going to be at Mars. Now, it takes a long trip to go from the moon to Mars. It takes a while. I don't know the time frame. I believe we're going to raise up more thousands of students who are going to go into the workforce and are going to change this country and the world because of their influence in the business, in the medical, in whatever field, education, whatever field they're in, business, they are going to change and transform society because they're being discipled here, and then we're sending them around the world and in America. It's hard to quantify that. It's hard for me to give you, we're going to believe God this. I can't even keep up with that. But I know God knows what's happening. I bet it's going to be an increase in the medical community. We've had a grace for people from medical school and dental school and others have come here because they feel God's called them to another doctors and stuff. We are believing God to an increase in business leaders and raising up professionals and professors, winning youth and children to Christ. I long to see the day when we have 200 kids in Elevate. High school ministry. Now I know that's. I know I didn't ask you about that, baby. But I'm just speaking in faith. Come on. We got 200. We got 100 in middle school. Right now you got about 35. We're gonna get to 100, 200, as God pours out His Spirit on us. We got our middle school. Believe in God. We got like 10, 12 now. We're gonna have 100 at some point of middle schoolers. We have about 40 kids. And our children's ministry, it's going to be 100. It's going to be 150. By faith in God, as we're moving in that direction. I hesitate to use numbers, but just to give you an idea of how to go about it. We're going to have a full-time youth pastor because Beatty's going to need help. We're going to have women's ministry, men's ministry, dynamic. Building Hope is going to be fully funded with millions of dollars in the bank. Somebody's going to step up and give millions to Building Hope. And we're going to put it on, we're going to put it in some interest, and then Atlas can keep his job for, where's he at? As long as he wants it. Man, when that happens, we're going to be on Mars, baby. I know Atlas is going to be, he's going to be high as a, anyway, he's going to be flying over. Atlas, they put me on the spaceship. I'm on my way. And one thing, Pastor Nelson, you know, he's got people calling him from around the world wanting to connect with this church. He's got people in Mexico, Peru, Dominican Republic, is that the main ones, who are calling him up and saying, Nelson, pastor me. He got pastors calling him up saying, I need your help, Nelson. Me and Nelson just trying to figure out what we're going to do to help him. We're sitting there thinking, do we need to get on a plane? Do we need to make a tour of Latin America? I mean, what do we need to do? Nelson, we're going to be on Mars when me and you start traveling, and we see a whole group of churches that you're going around and you're pastoring these guys, and we're going to be there. We have an international vision. We have a desire to see the kingdom of God come. I'm not talking about Jupiter. I'm talking about Mars. I believe we are called to start a church out of this church. I believe we're supposed to go to a city, start a campus ministry, and start a church out of this church. I don't know when it's going to happen. We're going to send a team of people that are going to go with them. They're going to launch a church. They're going to build a great disciple-making church. And it'll probably end up being 3 or 4 times bigger than ours. But we need to send out a church. We need to send out church planters from this place. We've never sent out a church planter. I just believe it's one of those things, once you get the first one done, it's just going to start rolling after that. But we're going to send out, we're going to start a church. When that happens, I feel like I'm on Mars. Then I can start thinking about Jupiter. And then the pastor after me can start thinking about Jupiter and Saturn. And Pluto. I'm sorry, Pluto's not a... it's a dwarf planet now. But we need to start a church. We need to believe God to send out a church planting team here. Next 5 years, next 10 years, I don't know what God's plan is, but we got to have that as part of our faith. As part of reaching this city, we need to step out. One day we're going to own this whole property. It's going to be paid off. One day we're going to own this parking lot. It's going to be paved back here. I thought I was going to take some paper towels to the back door so I could wipe their feet off this morning as they were coming in. I had to wipe mine off. But one day, we're going to own this piece of property. We're leasing it right now to park on it. One day, we're going to own it. And we're going to do what we want to with it. One day, we can renovate. I'm believing God that church is going to grow where we have to have a bigger sanctuary. It's 370 chairs in here. When it gets to about 80% capacity, you got to go to 2 services, whatever. We'll go 2 services. One day we need to either renovate this whole building, we have the plans for it, or we need to build a building on the back, over here on the back, a new building, and turn this into a big fellowship hall, an industrial kitchen, and youth meet. I mean, there's so much we can do. Got to have a vision. Got to have passion to believe God. It takes faith to do all this stuff. If I went 5 more minutes this morning, would it be okay with you? I'm a little bit, I might need to go just a few minutes long, if that's okay with you. Last year, we baptized between here locally in the church, and then some students went off to different conferences. 38 people were baptized last year. 38. That's something to celebrate, I believe it is. The vast majority were students. Because that's the passion that God gave us, is to reach those students. And most people make their decisions for Christ when they're very young. 38 this year. I'm thinking 50, right? I mean, let's believe God together. Where's Devon? Devon. Good job, 38. His first year as the executive, as the director of the ENC, he baptized 38 or 34 college students. Good job back there. And your team. Last year, we spent $30,000 on this building, put that whole new front facade, painted this stuff, working on the children's program. It looks a whole lot better, doesn't it? People even know we're a church when they drive by now. Paid for it in cash. You gave it. What an amazing thing. Had $4,000. Somebody don't even come to this church anymore, just through our children's ministry. We're still working on some decorations in there. We had 40 people go through Next Step. It's our discipleship process. Had 36 people go through Leadership Step because they want to be trained to do life groups, because for us to infuse the city, we got to have life group leaders to get out there and infuse the city with the gospel. They had the 410 teams activated, which that's the Sunday morning service teams, and people stepped up and volunteered, and thank you for volunteering to serve. We had 80 people, kids at our VBS. We're going to get up to 100 again this year as we reach out to the community. All right, I'll give you just a couple of practical things for this year. I probably didn't answer everybody's questions because I don't even know a lot of the answers myself. I just know that I have a passion for the kingdom which burns within me more right now than it did when I was a younger man. I'm approaching 55 and I am more passionate today than I have ever been for the kingdom of God and for Jesus Christ and what he wants to do. I said that last week. I'm going to keep saying it. If I have to fast and give up my sweet tea, bless God, I'm going to do it. And we'll see God move. And we've had a lot of dear friends who were sent out this past year. Leaders in this church who God sent out. And I believe as God sends, he brings people in. And he brings others in to help us rend the city to Jesus. We're going to send in new elders and deacons, the next generation this year. Just be ready. More information is coming on that. We're going to believe for more baptisms, 50 baptisms. We're going to believe to continue to grow our life groups this year. We're going to continue to believe God to train. We had 40 last year. Let's believe God to continue to train in our growth track. If you haven't been through our next step class, go through it. It gives you who we are, where we're headed. Leadership teaches you how to minister and how to be a life group leader and how to infiltrate your community. We're going to expand this campus ministry. Hey, there's about 80 people at their weekly meetings. Well, that's going to get back to 100. Then Devon's got to figure out what to do with the 150 that he's going to get. But we're going to believe God together to reach that campus. We're going to continue to build the major outreaches that we have this year. We have our Easter service. We usually try to advertise to this community. We have card invitation cards. We as a people, we're going to need to reach out, invite people, those people who don't come to church but once or twice a year. You need to get them here. We got a Pirate's Fest booth, which is an outreach to families. Last year, we got out there and did all these children's crafts. This is in April. We probably invited 150, 200 people. We just told them about our church. We invited. We're out there serving the people, reaching out. I need help this year. I need some young blood to help me out a little bit. Thank God some of y'all helped me unload my truck. But anyway, I want you to be prepared to reach out at Easter. Reach out at Pirates Fest and our booth there. We have our VBS, which is another outreach to the city. We're going to build it, believe God, to touch communities that don't know Jesus through this VBS, their families. We're going to keep doing Hope Together Sunday. Remember he had Hope Together Sunday with Jared Green? Had 6 or 7 people raise their hand and make a commitment to Christ. Packed the place out, had a great meeting. We're going to continue to build that. We're going to continue to build on what we've already done and believe God to open doors of ministry as we go. We're going to continue to work on our Christmas Eve. We had 100 people at Christmas Eve service. Many of them don't even go to church during the year, but they heard the gospel that night. And we're going to believe God for a successful Building Hope banquet tonight. Not tonight, we're in February. That all the needs of Building Hope will be met. That it will continue to be a light. What a crown jewel in our hat here in this church. That we can work toward racial reconciliation by doing something and working to help those that have been overlooked. We need to believe God for Building Hope individually, and I'm almost done. We need to take responsibility, personal responsibility, for reaching the city. I'm not saying that all of us are evangelists. Some of you, prayer might just be what you do. Prayer might be your way of reaching the city. But let God use you in 2019. If you're at the grocery store, if you're at a store and you get a chance to invite some people to come. I said this last week, and I said not as far as bragging, just let you know I hold myself personally accountable. Last year myself, I invited 33 people to church, just out and about. I've only invited 2 so far this year, but I'm getting there. It's only 2 weeks in, so I'm trying to get there. Just let God, don't strive. I'm not saying strive and try to make something happen, but I'm saying let God use you. In your natural, just be yourself. If you got passion for Jesus, this is going to fall into your lap. You're going to have so many opportunities to share your faith, you're going to be surprised. Just let God use you this year in however manner he wants to use you. Start a prayer list of your neighbors, your family, your friends. Jump in and serve wherever God leads you to here in the church. We have plenty of places that you can do it. And in conclusion, what is your passion? My prayer for you is this year you would find your passion. If you don't know it, that you'll find it. His passion, our passion. You may be already functioning in your passion. Thank God. Just become more passionate with Jesus. So what is your passion today? What gets you up in the morning? What makes you put one foot in front of the other when you can't hardly do it? What gives you the propensity, the energy to live life? Internal, it's got to be something that's internal within you. This year, I believe God spoke to me, put in my heart this year, passion and power. That for this year, we need to go after the passion for the gospel, passion for people, and go after the passion that God has put in us. I believe if we do that, this church is going to grow. Your life is going to be changed. The city will be changed as we go after passion for Jesus. Come on up, Beatty, with your team. Over the next coming weeks, we're going to continue to talk about his passion, our passion. Because I believe every person in this room has a passion that God wants to birth inside of you if he has not done it already. Some of you need to have your passion rekindled. Some of you need to go after God to see if he'll redirect your passion. But I tell you what, I believe in God. This is going to be an amazing year for us and for you personally this year. Would you stand up and let me pray for you before we finish up this morning? God, thank you, Jesus, that you do have a call on this church to make disciples, to win the lost, to train up leaders. You've put it in our hearts from the very beginning to reach that college campus. You've put it in our hearts from the very beginning to reach the city, families, young people, single people, God, young professionals. God, we know that from the very beginning, you've called us to be a multi-generational church from birth to the grave. That we're called to go across the age lines, the racial lines, the denominational line, but we are called to be together as one. I pray, Lord Jesus, even now, that you would infuse people with passion for the kingdom first and their relationship with you. But I pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to birth again within them a passion that you have for them. The passion that you have for their life, what they're called to do, where they're called to be in this world. God, I thank you that your revelation is ever expanding. You open up our eyes to see, and we look to you this morning. I pray for every person who's in the families, businesses, educators, engineering, whatever may be your profession, I pray, or you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever may be your calling today, I pray they would do it with passion. That they would do it with passion for the kingdom of God. That you would bless them. That you would propel them forward in 2019. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Betty's going to take us out with a song, and Blake's going to come up and has an announcement and stuff. So thank you so much for being here. If you need any prayer, feel free to come down. We'd be glad to talk to you immediately following the service.